Welcome, welcome. It's truly an honor and a blessing to be able to share a devotional with you. And it's pretty awesome. And Pastor Pete asked me to come and think about praying, about sharing a devotional. I was all, cool, that'd be awesome. I said, okay, now what I want to pray about? What do I want a devotional about? What do I want to teach about? So I'm praying and I'm reading, having some quiet time. Reading, nothing's there. Okay, Lord, speak to me. All the while, all this stuff's going on in my head. I'll get into a little bit in the background about what's going on. Experiencing all this stuff. I get daily devotionals through the email. And all of a sudden, I start getting one after another. Worry and anxiety. Okay. I'm dealing with worry. I'm dealing with anxiety. All right. So I start studying. I start praying. More and more scripture keeps coming to me, right? All right, this is it. This is what you want me to teach on. So I'm like, cool. So this is going to be titled The Joy Stiller. So worry is to give way to anxiety, unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. So one of the most destructive habits that ensnares human beings is also so common that many consider it as natural as breathing and as harmless as blinking. That habit's called worry. It's such a skilled and deceptive thief that its victims don't even know that they're being robbed. Robbed of peace, of time, of mental energy, and of emotional well-being. Worry isn't productive. In fact, worry is a failure to trust God. It's interesting that the word worry comes from an old German term that means to strangle. That's what worry does. It chokes you. It's been said that worry is the advance interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. So worry is like a thief, right? Steals our spiritual peace. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "If I allow my concern about the future to cripple me in the present, I am guilty of worry." Right? And what are some of the things we worry about? We worry about our wives, our kids, our finances, our health, this, that, anything, right? So how can we overcome worry? Well, let's open up in prayer and we'll see what the word has to say. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Father, we just give you glory. We give you honor and praise, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord. That would merely be a voice that you use, Lord. That these words would come from you, Lord, from your spirit. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth of your word. Father, without your word, we'd be lost. You give us that daily instruction, Lord, to dig in, to seek you, along with your salvation and your Holy Spirit, Lord. You've just given us everything that we need. Father, we just pray that we would just seek you. That our ears would be open, Lord. I thank you that this message was for me first. Lord, and I just pray that it would just help us tonight, Lord, to understand what we can do in difficult situations, Lord. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's see what God's word says about this. Let's go to Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 6 a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, right? He's giving us all this instruction. Gives us the Beatitudes, talks about giving believers being salt and light, Christ fulfilling the law, murder begins in the heart, adultery in the heart, about marriage being sacred and binding. He forbids oaths, tells us about going the second mile, love your enemies, do good and please God. He even gives us the model prayer, right? About fasting, gives us instructions for fasting, laying up our treasures in heaven, a lamp of the body, cannot serve God in riches. And then Matthew 6:25, he talks about worry. So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what's the key right there? We already know that Jesus promised he's going to take care of our needs, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God. Right? So he reassures us our daily needs are going to be met. He promises that right there. What happens when other things happen beyond our daily needs? Right? We're doing okay financially. We're able to pay our bills. We're buying groceries. Our kids are got clothes for school, whatever. What happens when something else happens? When life hits us hard? Loss of a job, a sudden illness, right? A hole in your roof or something major comes out, right? Something big. So we as believers of God shouldn't worry, right? We're not supposed to worry or be anxious, right? Especially us, we're men, right? Tough, right? Nothing phases us, right? Right? Well, some of you may say it's easy for you to say because I was in that position. So I used to really not worry about a lot of stuff. Not a lot of things used to bother me. I've always been pretty easygoing, never really sweat the small stuff. You know, serving over here. My job was okay, doing good things. Just kind of walking. And then I'm like, I'm not praying a whole lot. I need to be praying a little bit more. I'm not digging as deep as I should have been in the Word. It's busy time. I'll get to it. You get kind of complacent. Not walking off the path, but you're just kind of not digging. You're just kind of there, right? You're just kind of cruising along. And then, boom, life hits you, right? So I'm reminded of a running back cruising down the sideline, right? He's kind of looking around. He's like, oh, I got it. There's the end zone. And all of a sudden, here comes that safety. Boom, lays him out. That happens to us sometimes in life, right? We're kind of cruising, we're there, and then all of a sudden, we get knocked. Well, recently, I experienced a medical issue back in November. It's pretty terrifying. Ended up in the hospital, struggled with all the possible what-if outcomes. A lot of the issues that I had, of course, I contributed to myself, not taking care of myself, not eating right, not exercising like I should. You know, it happens. We get lazy. We kick back, eat some cereal at 10 o'clock, and look outside, oh, there's my workout machine. It's kind of cold, though. I don't have a garage. Tomorrow, I'll get up early tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and goes. 10 pounds later, 15 pounds later, 20 pounds later, right? It happens, right? So with this little medical issue that I experienced, I've been having to be seeing some pretty heavy-duty specialists. So then what happens? Your mind starts to toil. All the possible what-if outcomes, right? What happens? What's going to be happening? Then the enemy creeps in. Huh? What if it's this? Now your daughter's not going to have a dad. Your wife's not going to have a husband. You're going to die. You're done. Right? That's enough to give you some anxiety, right? Enough to give you a little bit of worry. So the enemy wants us to fear. He wants us to give up hope, right? He wants us to be anxious, to be fearful, to not trust in God, right? He'll lie to us. He'll deceive us. So instead of listening to the lies, we need to trust God. We need to be concerned. It's okay that we can be concerned about things, right? There's such a thing as called constructive concern. Constructive concern is a positive action-oriented attitude. It motivates you, can honor God, and it can keep you moving forward. What I mean by this is, you go to a checkup, doctor says, hey, man, your cholesterol's a little high. All right, that's concerning. I'll start eating a little bit better, start working out, take care of that. All right, concerned, but I can deal with that, right? That's being constructive. Versus the other end of the spectrum, we're like, right, here comes the big one. It's over. It's over, right? So we don't need to be getting worried and worked up and anxious about that, right? So we pray about it. We trust God. The Word tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? So I like what Martin Luther says. Pray and let God worry. That's really the secret. Worries become well-rehearsed tapes in our mind. We know that we shouldn't worry, but you can't seem to turn the tape off. Then you start to worry about your worrying. Okay, I'm worrying too much. I'm thinking about it too much. I'm having an anxiety attack now. Okay, wait a minute. So fortunately, God doesn't just simply say, stop worrying, without telling us how to stop worrying, right? Although our thoughts and memories can't be erased, those tapes can be replaced. So let's look at some verses. I've got a lot of scripture, guys. We'll go pretty quick. I won't keep you here, but another 3 hours, maybe. We should be good. But I made it easy. Start in the Old Testament. Let's go in the book of Joshua. Start in chapter 1, verse 1. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe according to all that is written in it. For then you will have your way prosper. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever we go. What is that command? For have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Right? Let's go to Isaiah 35:4. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Right? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All right, let's jump into the New Testament, John 14. Verses 1 through 6. This is where Jesus says, that's why I love the way God moves. When Apollo is praying and is talking about, he goes and he quotes the scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And here's Thomas. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is our way, right? He's our comforter. He's our healer. He's our provider. Gives us that strength, right? Let's look at John 14, 25, 27. He gives us a helper, right? The Holy Spirit. So he says, these things I have spoken to you, that while being present with you, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he's telling us not to be afraid, right? So no matter what the circumstances, we don't need to be afraid, right? So when those medical issues come up, those issues come up, if it's this, this, or this, we can freak out or we can trust God, right? When I pray, I think about different things, and I always pray, God, thank you for the good times and thank you for the trials. Right? Without the trials, we can't be refined. Without the trials, we can't grow. Right? It's like a test. We got to take tests in school to graduate, to grow. That's how life is. Life's a test also. Right? Let's look at John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world, that you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we have trials, right? We're going to have it. Jesus told us, you're going to have trials, but I have overcome the world, right? Let's go to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I know I've thrown a lot of scripture out there, guys, a bunch of scriptures, but just examples of God telling us, do not be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear. I'm here. I'm with you. I got you. Let's consider who said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Apostle Paul wrote those words under some pretty adverse circumstances, right? He wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, but he was a prisoner there instead. Didn't know what his future held, right? Didn't know if he was going to be released. Didn't know if he was going to be beheaded, acquitted, right? He knew nothing about his future. But he gave us some of the most inspiring words found in the pages of Scripture. Paul wasn't in some ivory tower spitting off some practical theories. He was incarcerated. He was in jail. Yet he was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And that, by the way, is a command from God himself, right? Does he not tell us to rejoice? Rejoicing is a scriptural command. It's not a suggestion. To put it another way, not rejoicing is disobedience to God. Let's look at 1 John 4. Verses 17 and 18. So love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Right? So we can't have fear and have perfect love, can we? It's opposite. Love casts out fear. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. Right? So we got to remember those times we get anxious, we start worrying, we start thinking, we start freaking out about stuff. What do we got to do? Pray. Turn to the Word, right? Turn to the Word. We can't live in God's love and peace if we're living in fear and worry, guys. We need to worship God. We need to spend time in his word. What does that mean, spend time in his word? We get up, we up. Okay, behold, the matter of love of the Father is bestowed upon us. Okay, I'm done. Right? It's like, sometimes men of valor, we shovel it in our face, right? Have you ever done that? Man, I don't have time, but I got to read. I'll just read a quick verse. I've done that, right? Rushed. We don't spend that time to sit down and make that time and say, okay, Lord, speak to me, right? We got to spend that time, make that time, right? We got to pray And I mean pray. Right? I love this quote. There's this app that I have, this group of guys, Apollo showed me. It's called SOCON. It's a group of men, a bunch of soldiers and stuff. They send out devotions and quotes and stuff like that. I love one of the quotes that they sent out. It says, you can't pray a 10-cent prayer and expect a $1 million answer. Right? So we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the food, rubber dub dub. Thanks for the grub. No. Right? When we're going through those hard times, when we're dealing with those issues, we got to pray. Right? So when I was thinking about this teaching, I was thinking, man, Pete, Apollo, no. Man, I was tripping out. Eli, called Eli. Hey, you guys, I'm freaking out here. Let's pray. They took the time to pray. That's what's good about this fellowship. That's what's good about Men of Valor. Guys, I know I don't come very often because I have my daughter, but iron sharpens iron, guys. We have each other, right? Call each other up. Hey, Apollo, I'm struggling. Kurt, I'm struggling. Having a hard time. Right? We need to give him glory. We need to honor him with our lives. We've got to share the love of Jesus. Can't do that if we're in a constant worry about things, right? Or worried about our health or what's going on in the world. Right? We can't excel, we can't grow if we're too busy worrying, living in fear, living in anxiety. On that SOCON, saw a little illustration that I loved. When we're in constant worry and fear, and we're living in a fear, our mind is not sober and alert. Right? Things can enter our mind like doubt, like sin. Right? We can start to stray. Right? We can allow sin to creep into our lives. Right? What's the enemy's goal? He wants to come into the house and tie up the strong man. Right? So when he comes in, he wants to tie up the strong man. What happens? He makes you lose focus on God. So now that you're distracted, right? Now is when he wants to strike. Not focus on God. You're not spending time in his word. Not praying. So guess what? We start doing things of the flesh. Right? Start walking away. Well, I'm not reading my word. I'm going to die anyway. It's just one drink. One this. I'll go to the bar. Watch that movie. Whatever. It's just one. Take that bite. Right? Take that bite. Once you take that bite, then you start to feed your flesh. And then you start to feed your flesh. You never know where the destruction is going to come from. It can be anything, right? Any type of sin. Like I said, one shot, no big deal. I'm stressed. And then it needs another. Needs another. Boom. And you're pinned against the wall. Right? And then one day starts turning into 3 days, 4 days. You're pinned against the wall. Right? Now he's got you. Right? You start to feed your flesh, right? You start freaking out. Okay. Well, I'll just keep doing it more. It's whatever. Now that's it. Now you're done. Right? He's got you pinned. Right? And you're like, okay, that's it. I'm done. Start freaking out. Okay, Lord, forgive me. He says, I forgive you. And you start like, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in this house. I started straying. I started walking away. What am I going to do? Right? You go to church. You see your brothers, right? And you're stuck and you're in this sin and you're having all this hard time, this anxiety. Hey, Jerry, how's it going, brother? Hey, good, man. I'm blessed. I'm blessed, man. Thanks. Thanks for seeing that game. Yeah, man, it was awesome. And Jerry walks on by. All right. And you see that other brother. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, brother, I'm blessed, man. I'm doing great, man. Worship was awesome today. No, man. How you doing? I'm struggling. Well, yeah, with what? Well, just not reading. Got involved in this, that, and the other. Oh, really? What else is going on? Hey, man, it's just still dealing with that stuff, man. I first started off by, you know, worrying about my health, and then it just got to not caring. I'm going to the bar, or I'm watching these movies, I'm doing that, or whatever, man. Can you pray for me? Oh, and you step out, right? So you get those brothers to come alongside you and pray for you. Right, I didn't hesitate, Pete. Sometimes I blow him up so much. Dude, this is what the doctor said. He's probably like, stop it, bro. Stop it. The other day, he's all, don't listen to the MDs, listen to the specialist. Listen to the specialist. Like, I just wanted to tell you what they said. Stop it. Stop it. Stop playing that tape over and over and over and over again in your head. Doesn't do you any good. It's going to steal your joy, right? Don't worry. Don't worry, God. Don't let worry get the better of you guys. You got to read. You got to fellowship. Ask for support. One last thought. Jesus knows and has compassion for what we will face. Let's look at Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing that we have a great and high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Right? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Isn't that awesome? Worship and worry cannot be in our mouths at the same time, guys. One displaces the other. Worry doesn't make our life longer. It just makes it more miserable. The next time you're gripped by fear and worry, next time you start thinking, what if this happens? What if that happens? Turn it into prayer. Look to the Lord and let him give you his peace. Okay? Let's look at Psalms real quick. Just a couple more scriptures just to encourage you before we go. Psalm 94:19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He doesn't want us to be worried or anxious or trip out, right? He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving me this teaching, Lord, because this is for me. Lord, you know how I struggled with fear and anxiety, the what ifs, the fear of leaving your children behind, the fear of your wife behind. But Lord, none of that matters. All that matters is you, God. Father, I know that they're in your hands. I know that you're in control. So no matter what the circumstance, Lord, you are God. There's nothing that happens without you allowing it. Nothing that happens outside your will. I thank you for growing me, for teaching me, for drawing me closer to you, Lord. Thank you for your word, the truth of your word, Lord. Father, I just pray that everyone here would be encouraged, Lord. That if there's anybody here that needs that support, that needs that brotherly love, that needs that iron sharpened, that they would reach out, Lord. They would call one of our brothers, Lord, and just say, hey, man, I need prayer. Father, I pray that we would be available to those that need it, Lord. Take that time to pray with our brothers. We just thank you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.